You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
PackersTalk.com.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website at TicketKing.com. Again, that's TicketKing.com.
Let's talk in Pack.
Remember last week when I said it sure looked like the 2022 Green Bay Packers were nearing rock bottom? Well, guess what? Yeah, they're there now. And with that, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Lemps Talk and Pack. I'm your host, Chris Lempesis, coming to you once again from my basement Packer room in my home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, here to break down Green Bay's. You might want to start peeking at those 2023 mock drafts. 23-21 loss to the Washington Commanders on Sunday at FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland. A turd of a stadium for a turd of a performance from a turd of a team. Mock drafts! Mock drafts! It's not even Halloween yet, and I'm talking mock drafts. I'm using the word mock drafts. I can't even believe we're here! That this thing has spiraled out of control so fast, it's unbelievable! I said this team would win the Super Bowl! I can't even believe I thought that about this team! Why was I thinking that? Well, actually, hang on. Actually, if you remember, after the playoff loss to San Francisco, I said they should blow this team up. Or at the very least, trade Aaron Rodgers, trade Devontae Adams, get as many picks as possible for those two, you know. Lean on your running game, your defense, and slowly assemble an offense around Jordan Love while you determine whether or not he can be the guy going forward. I said that. You know, I said I thought this run was over. The loss to San Francisco definitely seemed like the window being slammed shut, didn't it? You know? In fact, I said that about Rodgers even after the news of his new contract leaked. Right? Said on the show, hey, if you're giving me the choice between keeping Rodgers and getting the package Seattle just got for Russell Wilson, because I think he was just traded that same day, right? Right around that time, anyway. I said, if he gave me that choice, well, I'd rather have the package of picks and players. You know, a good GM could take that package and use it, you know, to kickstart the next run for the team. I said all that. Oh, you're just a Rodgers hater, bro. You don't carry the G. Boy, I tell you what, I never thought I'd hate a phrase more than R-E-L-A-X. But that carry the G crap, I tell you, it's pretty close. It's pretty close. It's right up there. Anyways, then they traded for Adams, and all of a sudden, they traded Adams, and then all of a sudden, like a dope, I'm on the show going, okay, you know, I like this plan. They can keep the defense together, they'll use those picks to add youth to the core. Rodgers won't be able to focus solely on Adams in the passing game. My favorite man is the open man. Yada, yada, yada. Super Bowl. Oh, why did I say that? But you know, it made sense, didn't it? I thought it did. But I was way off. Jesus, maybe I was taking ayahuasca. Maybe I was tripping balls. I don't know. Because, man, I tell you, it turns out my first instinct was the right one. Feels that way. You know, they should have just traded Rodgers. The way it feels. Rodgers, you know, they traded Adams, should have traded Rodgers too. This thing sure looks like it's swirling the drain. Super Bowl playoffs? Playoff? Don't talk about playoffs. I'm just hoping we can win a game. Anywho, with the loss, their third in a row, first three-game losing skid since, of course, Mike Mack's last season in 2018, Packers dipped to 3-4 on the season, still good enough for second place in the NFC North. Now 2.5 games plus the tiebreaker behind the Minnesota Vikings, who were on bye this week but still managed to win because the Packers lost. Great. Chicago Bears are still 2-4. They play the New England Patriots on Monday Night Football this week. Right? Yeah, Chicago versus New England. Yep. And the Detroit Lions, well, speaking of Mike Mack, his Dallas Cowboys hammered those Lions 24-6. Dropping the Lions to 1-5 on the year. But I'll tell you, again, the Detroit Red Wings. They won again. They pounded Anaheim 5-1 on Sunday. So 8 points out of a possible 10 in their first five games. Good start. There you go, Detroit fans. Shit, I tell you what, I joke about that with Lions fans, you know, putting their focus on the Wings. If this keeps up, I might be putting my focus on the Wings. Well, the Wings and the Milwaukee Bucks, of course. Right? See, it'll be a seamless transition. You know how radio stations just, like, suddenly change formats? Like, one day you tune in and a country station's, like, playing hard rock now. It's like, what happened? That's just going to be me pretty soon if the Packers keep crapping themselves. I'll tell you that. One day you're going to tune in. It's going to be Welcome to Lemps talking Bucks and Wings. Doesn't really have a great ring to it, but that's what the show would be. You'll be like, what the fuck is this? I kid. Okay, before we get into the fun, God, how are you not having fun already? I'm having a blast. I have to do the shameless self-promotion, which I know you love, or at the very least tolerate. Twitter, Lemps, MKE, at It's Just Chris Now. Facebook, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts. The email, olbagofdonuts, olbagofdonuts at gmail.com. Again, you can write in during the week, too. You don't have to just write in after the game. Got a couple of really nice emails last week after the show ran. Really appreciate those. That was great. Be cool if you, you know, keep those coming. For anyone listening on the wonderful Packers Talk iTunes page, leave a rating, 5 stars. Me like you those the most. 4 stars are good, too. A comment. Hopefully it's positive. That'd be awesome. Spotify, keep those Spotify ratings coming. You can find us there by searching for Packers Talk and looking for our logo, which is the head of the Vince Lombardi statue, which sits outside Lambeau Field. God, Vince is just turning over in his grave if he's watching this. I'll tell you that. Again, leave a rating. That little box right near the top with the star, click on that. You can go up to 5 stars. Me like you 5 stars the most, again. We're on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us there as well. If you listen on a platform I don't mention, let me know. I always like hearing that. And again, just subscribe. Just mindlessly mash down on that subscribe button, whatever platform it is you're using. Then we deliver this shit right to your phone. I'm there Monday mornings. You wake up, I'm right there. You know, I'm not in your bed with you. I give you that space. I'm on your phone. You don't have to go searching. That sounds good, right? And a special shout out to our wonderful sponsor, Ticket King, who, if you don't know, at last, they finally followed me on Twitter. It finally happened. Ticket King is now following me on Twitter. Thank you, Ticket King. I promise I won't let you down. So not a total loss this week. And again, for all your Packers ticket needs, head to theticketking.com. They'll take care of you. Okay, now that we done got all that out the way, let's go. Let's dive right in. Oh my God, do we have to do this? Yes, we do. Let's talk about this Packers. I'm trying to, like, mimic the noise you would make for a plane spiraling out of control. Like, so you go like, Packers, ew. That's kind of the L for this team, I think, at this point, right? It's the best way to describe it? I think so. Now, I want to start by saying, look, I see, and I think I talked about this last week, too, but whatever. I see all these people, bloggers, my fellow podcasters, pointing the finger at one specific person or position group. Oh, it's his fault. It's their fault. That guy's fault. Why this team has been such a massive, titanic disappointment. I get it. It's a great way to generate clicks and eyeballs and earballs, all that. You know, it's always sexier if you can single out one player, coach, or whatever, and build your whole thing around that. I get that. But what Sunday really illustrated for me, and hopefully it did for you as well, is that every single area of this team has completely failed. Every single one. Completely bombed the season. In fact, it's the only way you get to the point the Packers are at now, i.e. on life support. You know, the only way you get there is by having it be a total collective failure. There's no other way. Now, having said that, there are degrees to this shit. And Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers, the two men at the top, clearly have failed the most, right? They've been the most obvious, I think, to all of us. And that is where I'm going to start tonight. That's the first part of the show. Let's start by talking about Matt LaFleur. 8 carries for Aaron Jones. 8. I would say Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers because they kind of co-run the offense, right? I said before, Rodgers runs the version of the LaFleur offense that he deems acceptable. I stand by that. So it's both of them. 8 carries for Aaron Jones. His carries per game, I don't know if you know this, they're going down since the New England game. Down! 16 versus the Pats, 13 in London against the Giants, 9 last week against the Jets, and now 8 today. And wow, what a surprise. The offense is collapsing as his carries per game are going down. No way. Are those two things connected? You think? You know, okay, so the run blocking, it wasn't great Sunday. And it hasn't been great. I get that, you know? But tell me how many backs, how many really good backs can get going with 8 carries. Tell me. Every great back in history gets better as they touch the ball more, as they get the rock more. 8 carries would be tough for any great back to get going. You know? With very few touches like that. That's not enough. It's pathetic. You know, I feel like I talk about it every week. But it's, you know, it's huge. It's a huge reason why he's their best skill position player. You know, now I know he had 9 catches he finished with today, right? 9 catches for 53 yards and 2 touchdowns. So they got him the ball in the passing game, but he's not running the ball enough. So, not good enough. No. More weird, bad play calling from LaFleur and Rodgers. Oh, this was so bad. 4th-and-1 at the Washington 37, 4th quarter, 11:27 to go. Packers down 20-14, but they're on the move. They go for it. And I love the decision. Again, I tend to be, if you listen to the show, you know I tend to be more conservative. But I love that decision there. You got to go for it there, in my opinion. It's too far for Crosby to kick. Punting does you no good. You go for it. So I love the decision, but oy vey, the call. Shotgun. Rodgers to Romeo Doubs, and he can't hang on. The quick little pass to his left to Doubs. Can't hang on. Turnover on downs. I get that Watkins, and I can't remember who the other receiver was. Those two probably should have blocked. That's what Gerald Johnson was saying. It looked like they were supposed to maybe block for Doubs and didn't. So that's a big reason why he got hit right away. I get that there were mistakes made there, and Doubs dropping the ball was bad. I'll tell you, quick aside, I continue to worry about just how strong his hands are. That's been a concern of mine going back to the preseason. And if he doesn't get better in that area, it's going to really limit how far he's going to go in the pros. It's going to really cap his ceiling. His hands have got to get stronger. He has to hang on to that ball, you know? So, yeah, bad blocking, missed blocking, a ball he should catch and doesn't. I get that. But just run the ball. Run the ball. That's why A.J. Dillon is on this team, or even Aaron Jones. You don't think they're going to get 1 yard? You don't trust those guys to get 1 yard? Why are they on this team? Why is A.J. Dillon on this team if you don't trust him to get 1 yard in that spot? Weird, awful, bad play calling on that. Hated it, you know? Where is the intermediate passing game? There's one for long stretches. It just vanishes. The passing game is it's either all short stuff or just bombs downfield. Nothing intermediate, you know? And Washington was really, you could tell, they were really sitting on the short stuff for most of the day. They really suffocated Green Bay's offense in that area. They just couldn't get anything going with the short game. Well, no. And that's the way it's going to be going forward. Teams are just going to sit on the short passing game. Because nobody believes the Packers can beat them, not even just deep, but intermediate. You know, on the deep stuff, they're not even throwing it intermediate. So, you know, all short stuff, indeed, just that's a weird, I don't think that's the way you can live with the passing offense. I don't think your passing offense can live that way. No. So that was bad. And, you know, just again, just a sense that this team wasn't that invested in the preceding Sunday. Didn't you feel that way? Just kind of lifeless. It felt very lifeless, especially after, you know, my guy, Sky Umah, Devondre Campbell's pick 6 early in the second. Like, I thought the first quarter energy was decent enough. But after that play by Campbell, it just felt like, from the entire team, it felt like, okay, well, we've done enough here. This one's over. And it's like, what? You know, and that's kind of the way it was thinking of the London game, too. They got up in the first half. I was like, all right, well, we're done here. They just kind of clock out. What? Why is this happening? Why does this keep happening? That's a direct indictment of the head coach. It just is. That falls at LaFleur's feet. No other way to say it, you know? This team, again, they're just spiraling, and he doesn't seem like he has any idea how to pull the damn plane back up, does it? He doesn't know how to pull out of the nosedive. It sure seems that way. You know, and for Rodgers, who finished, what did he finish? 23 of 35, 194 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks, 5.5 yards per attempt. Those numbers are really inflated by those last couple of drives, of course, because I don't even think he had 100 yards going into the fourth quarter, did he? said at one point in the fourth quarter they said he didn't, if I remember correctly. But anyways, yeah, Rodgers, look, he was certainly hurt by his pass catchers not catching the freaking passes. Packers had God knows how many drops in this one, so those aren't on him. That's not Rodgers' fault. But, you know, again, he missed on a lot of throws, too. And he seemed to either not see or just ignore guys who sure looked to be open. You know, sure looked that way to me. Pretty clear he still doesn't really trust this group of pass catchers, which it's week 7, Aaron. That's a problem. Hey, maybe going to those OTAs and minicamps might help a little bit. Sorry, I hate to keep bringing that up. It just still really pisses me off. He needed to be there. He wasn't. He was on a beach somewhere, tripping balls. You know, last week I talked about how I couldn't say he was washed up yet because he's still hitting a handful of throws that maybe a couple of other guys on Earth could hit, and that's it. Well, this week really didn't make any such plays other than maybe that touchdown pass to Jones right near the end of the game. That kind of had a vintage Rodgers feel to it. But otherwise, all very pedestrian from him. It's a very pedestrian performance. It's a big problem for a guy who's making $50 million a year. It's a big goddamn problem. And again, dude just continues to display, I mean, just piss poor body language. Really, I think it's piss poor leadership from Rodgers. That's what I see. That moment after he basically turfed one to Dobbs and he's going, what the fuck are we doing to the sidelines? What is that? Who does that help? What does that benefit doing that in that moment? You know? Does he ever go talk to these receivers during the games? Is he ever over there coaching them up or talking them through things? Not that I see. I just see him sitting on the bench. You know? Sitting next to his guy, Tom Clements. Looking pissy as can be. God, Clements must just be miserable. Clements must be like, I can't believe you dragged me out of retirement for this shit. This is miserable. Clements doesn't look like he's having any fun either. How could he be? But you know what I mean? He just sits there on the bench. He's not talking to anybody. There's no, like, enthusiasm from him. It's just, you know, it's all flat. One of the longtime listeners of the show, Javier, who was at the game. Sorry for what you saw today, Javier. He tweeted at me after and said that there were definitely a few stretches where Rodgers was just sitting on the bench by himself. Why is that happening? You know, these are kids, these pass catchers, these receivers are kids. They need Rodgers encouraging them. You know, he's not the kind of leader they need right now. He needs to change his approach. Because what he's doing isn't working. You know? Someone said to me after the game, well, what do you want them to do? Go hold their hand and tell them it's going to be okay? Yeah, well, in a sense, kind of. These kids need encouragement. Not scowling and, you know, looking pissed off. That's not what this team needs. You know, I've said for a long time, Rodgers is kind of... I was talking about this once in the difference between Rodgers and Favre. I tweeted this a long time ago. That Rodgers is kind of... He's very much like a symphony conductor, you know? He comes out, it's mostly emotionless. He's going to be on point. It's going to be brilliant. He expects everybody else to follow. That's the type of leader he is, which is great for a certain type of team. But this is not that kind of team. They need more from him. He needs to invest himself more. I'm sorry. I know people go, oh, the body language police or the leadership police. But that's the way it feels to me. I can't be alone in that. There's no way. So, you know, again, no, it isn't just these two. No, it's everyone. And don't worry, the rest of the team, they're going to get theirs here in a little bit. I assure you of that. But we all know the head coach-quarterback pairing, that brain trust, is responsible for a huge chunk of a team's successes or failures. And while Rodgers and LaFleur have directed the Packers to some very high highs, they're currently most responsible for guiding them to their most crushing low. Okay. So we move on now to the questions, the Twitter bag, the email bag, and you guys did not disappoint. Oh my God, I'm really glad it's good. We got a lot of stuff here. Hold on a second, my lights just went out for some reason. There we go. Ooh, that's a great sound. I should have hit the mute button for that. Ooh, as I'm sitting, I plop my fat ass back down on this stool. All right, so let's start with Twitter.
Hold on one second here. Sorry, hold on, my computer's being weird. Okay, so these are in no particular order. First comment comes from Dave, at underscore Dave, and then a bunch of underscores. He asks, what trade options can even happen with cap? OBJ wants to go to a winning team. Polluting mindset is locked in. Okay. Well, they're a decent amount under the cap. I think they're, what, like $6 million or $7 million under the cap? So they're okay. They can fit. They would be able to fit in almost anybody that they were going to trade for as far as their salary for the rest of the season. After that, you know, next year's cap does not look great right now. Just go to overthecap.com and you'll see that. They're going to be very cash-strapped. So that's like the problem when you talk about a guy like trading for DJ Moore, right? His salary is not bad now, but it spikes next year, and just fitting him under the cap next year would be hard. You'd have to extend him, you know, to lower that number just to fit him in, which is going to be tricky because, you know, Lazard's a free agent at the end of the year, and Jenkins is a free agent, and you're going to have to redo Gary, and you might have to give Yosh a new contract, and so on and so forth. So it's, you know, they could fit people in. It's worrying about what happens after, you know, it's what comes after this year that would be hard. And OBJ, I mean, do you really think OBJ would fix this team? Dave, you and I have been tweeting, so I know you don't think he would. You and I both know OBJ is not going to fix this team. So, and the polluted mindset, yeah, it definitely feels that way. Definitely feels like a polluted mindset, to reference Mike Mack. Absolutely. Our next one comes from Cluse at Get a Cluse, Please. He writes, I have no words, just seems like they have no fight, just a brutal game. Yeah. You know, it's funny, after the game ended, I said on Twitter, you know, if you're looking for hope, I'm not really sure where you find it. And someone said to me, oh, well, you know, they have guys who get paid a lot of money to figure that out. It's time to move on to the Bucks season. And I'm like, hey, man, that's easy for you. Easy for you to say, I got to do a podcast about this shit. So I was like, yeah, and I didn't really have any words either at that point. I was going like, I don't know, I'm going to put together a show for tonight. Like, shit. Because you're right, it doesn't seem like they have any fight. It just seems, like I said, the energy to start the game was okay. And then after the Campbell pick six, it was like, well, that's it, we're done. We got this one in the bag, boys. Time to get ready for next week. It was like, what? It's early second quarter. Because, yeah, and it felt like they really just, you know, it got really flat after that. So, yeah, it was just a brutal game. I agree. Our next one comes from the aforementioned Javier Cabrera at Ja Cabrera 24, who was at this game. Sorry about that, Javier. I was at the game last week, so I know I feel your pain. He writes, Aaron Jones is the only good thing on this team. And then he sent me a photo he took of Jones on the sidelines with his cool shades on or whatever. Looks like Javier had pretty good seats, which at least he had good seats. Yeah, I mean, he's not, I don't know if he's the only good thing on the team. But he's certainly one of the few good things, though. Yeah, Jones and Kenny Clark and Gary and, but yeah, very few bright spots. Yeah, that's for damn sure. Very bright spots. Tell you what, you wonder if Jones next week when they're in Buffalo, because, you know, Buffalo, right, was one of the teams rumored to be after Christian McCaffrey, who ends up going to San Francisco, of course, in the trade with Carolina. But it was rumored that Buffalo was in on that. You know, and you wonder if Jonesy, when they get to Buffalo next week, is just going to be like, hey, this team is good. They could use me, and they probably would use me. Do you guys mind if I just stay here? No, he's such a good kid. He'd never say that, but I bet you he'll be thinking it. I bet you he'll be thinking it. He'll be going, is it, hey, would you guys mind if I just stayed here? If I just, like, slid over to that locker room after the game? They'll send you some good compensation in a trade. Just let me stay here. They can win. They'll use me. He'll be thinking it. I bet you he will. Our next one comes from Justin Cornwell, longtime friend of the show, at Justin A. Cornwell, one of the OG Pod Bean hardcores from the early days of the show. I always appreciate that. Justin writes, every game there is something new that keeps them from playing well. O-line finally looks good. Doesn't matter because the receivers can't catch. Campbell and Walker finally make plays. Doesn't matter because Jair gets cooked. Just a complete disaster that has no end in sight. Yeah, that's true. They're really, you know, Justin, that's well said. There definitely is kind of a push-down pop-up factor going on with this team. That tends to happen with bad football teams, right? Oh, they fix this, and then they fix this leak, but then a leak springs, you know, springs out over here, and we got this problem solved, oh, but here comes this problem. So that tends to be a symptom of bad teams. But you're right, that certainly is going on with the Packers, because this new-look offensive line, Zach Tom at left tackle, Jenkins at left guard, Myers, was it Runyon, and then Yosh, right, at right tackle? Did they have Jenkins at left guard? I don't remember this now. Yeah, it was Jenkins at left guard. Okay. So, yeah, the new-look offensive line, I didn't think they played particularly well as far as opening holes in the run game. Not that it would matter, because, again, the Packers only ran the ball 12 times, 8 carries for Jonesy, 4 for Dylan for 15 yards. So they only ran the ball 12 times. So, yeah, the run blocking wasn't great, but only 12 attempts. It's not enough. Compare that to Washington. Their top two backs, Robinson and Gibson, 30 carries. 30 to 12. Washington made an effort to run the ball. It wasn't always perfect, but there were moments where they ran the ball very well. That's what happens when you make an effort. You know, you just keep trying. Eventually it'll work. The Packers just never really tried. Or tried and quickly gave up. Either way, it was just not good enough. So you're right, they did look good. And yeah, the receivers were bad. Yeah, it was a lot of drop balls today. That didn't help anything. So that was, you're right, push down pop up. And yeah, Campbell and Walker I thought looked great. You know, I kind of ripped Campbell on the show last week. Hell, I really ripped him. He was awesome today. And Walker really looked, for the first time, like a factor in getting after the quarterback. You know, blitzing him off the edge really seemed to disrupt some things. I'd like to see Joe Barry continue with that. But you're right, that happens. And then Jair was terrible. He was terrible. But I thought he played McLaurin pretty well. McLaurin's so good. He played him pretty well in the first half. I think he only had one catch for like 6 yards. But boy, he cooked Jair in that second half. Roasted him. Kenny Rogers roasted him. You know, it's just, and some of those plays were good cover. You know, some of those plays were just, that touchdown was just a perfectly thrown ball. That I can't put on Jair too much. But there were a lot of other plays that I thought he could have made. That third and nine. Get off the field there and they probably would have won the game. You know, they had Heinicke under heavy pressure. You know, he floats one to McLaurin on the sidelines. Jaw's got to make that play. He's got to make that play. He can't give up the catch there, but he did. So you're right. Push down, pop up, and that's a disaster. That's what happens when your team is a disaster, for sure. So yeah, I agree. Thank you, Justin. Next one comes from Bill Amundsen at Omaha Badger. Bill writes, "Well, it's been fun and miserable over the last 14 years." Bill, quick, I like the way you write questions and comments. Last week you said something about, was it last week or a couple weeks ago, you said something about it being you and your wife's wedding anniversary, and the game spoiled it. That's how you started. You come in hot. I appreciate that. So anyways, start over. "Well, it's been fun and miserable over the last 14 years. So many what-ifs and chances squandered. It's pretty easy to see this is the end of an era. I do feel cheated that there was only one championship in this time. Not sure where this goes, but glad we are in the NFC North." Yeah, like I said, there's been some high highs and some crushing lows in the return of the Rodgers era, no question. And you're right, it does feel like this is the end of an era. It really feels like this is it. I kept thinking that today. Last week was the first time when I was at the game, I was really kind of first started entertaining it, and now I'm like, this does feel like the end. Yeah, I can't imagine if this continues, he'll want to come back. And I can't imagine they'll want him to come back. So, yeah, definitely. It does. You know, I've said this before about the thing. I know everybody goes, you're spoiled or entitled to say just one championship. But I don't give a shit. It does feel light. One championship, one Super Bowl appearance, when you've got one of the top, certainly top 10, maybe top 6 or 7 quarterbacks to ever play the game, to just get the one, yeah, it does feel light. Absolutely. Especially when you consider he played in this era where it's so easy for quarterbacks in offense to have success, to only get the one ring. It does. It feels light. I've said that a million times. I don't care if you call me spoiled or entitled or whatever that bullshit is. I don't care. It's light. Call it what it is. It's light. It's not enough. No. I remember a friend of mine saying to me when they won the Super Bowl and they beat the Steelers, saying, you know, if they only get one with this core, it's going to feel like a waste. He was just talking about that core of players. We weren't even talking about the entire Rodgers era. So I don't know if it's... You can't say it's a waste, right, because they got a ring. It's never a waste when you get a ring. But does it feel light? Hell yeah, it does. A lot of reasons for that, a lot of culprits. At some point, maybe in the off season, I plan on... I want to do like a whole thing about that. Almost maybe even like a series about why this team came up short so many times and why this era feels light overall as far as success. So I don't want to go too much into that now, but yeah, I may do that at some point. I'd really like to anyways. Yeah, and you're right. Good thing we're in the NFC North because, hey, at least we're surrounded by mostly ineptitude coming from Chicago and Detroit. So even if this is the end of the Rodgers era, like, it'll just be us in Minnesota. Minnesota will probably be the only competition for the foreseeable future. So, yeah, I agree with you there. Good stuff, Bill. Thank you. So that's Twitter. We're going to move to the emails, and there are a lot of emails. All right. First one comes from Philip. Hold on one second here. First one comes from Philip, who titles his email Bums. You got to love that. I knew when he titled his email Bums, I was like, uh-oh, strap in. Philip writes, Lamps. After watching Favre and Rodgers for so long, we aren't used to seeing this consistency of poor play. I can't see the offense putting it together with the lack of weapons at receiver. The defense doesn't seem to have the heart and toughness to stop the run. This team is undisciplined, lacks heart, and is hard to watch. Before the season, I couldn't imagine this happening unless they were plagued by injuries. As my dad would always say during bad games, they're playing like a bunch of bums. Do you think they get to 8 wins? Phil. Phil, do we have the same dad? That sounds like something my dad would say. There'd be a little bit more colorful language before that, let's say that. Probably be playing like a bunch of goddamn bums, for example. But yeah, a lot of good stuff here. You're right. It's hard to see this offense putting it... And that's what I talk about when I say it's a total team failure. Because you talk about this offense, you're right, they don't have a lot of weapons at receiver. And people like me, and I'll fully admit this, hey, a lot of my fellow bloggers and podcasters and Twitter personalities won't ever admit when they're wrong. I admit when I'm wrong. I was wrong on this. I thought this receiving core would be enough. I thought Rodgers is too stubborn, he's too hard-headed, too good. He'll make it work with these guys. He'll squeeze, you know, all the juice out of the orange, and we'll be fine. And I was wrong. They don't have enough talent at receiver. That is pretty clear, you know? It's pretty clear. Yeah. Tough seeing guys like Alec Pierce become, you know, a major favorite for Matt Ryan right away in Indianapolis. And George Pickens making, seems like every week he makes one brilliant catch for Pittsburgh. They love him. They think he's going to become a star. It's tough to see those guys having so much success right away and going like, those could have been Packers. Because those were the guys I wanted. Pickens and or Pierce. If you listen to the pre-draft shows, those were the guys I wanted. It's just tough watching those guys have success and then looking at this group and going, how would those guys have fit in here? I think they would have fit in pretty well. But I digress. Yeah, you're right. There's just not a lot of talent at receiver or tight end. I don't think much of Tonyan. He's okay, but I don't think he's anything really special. Sorry to say that. So I was wrong, and that falls on Brian Gutekunst. See, it's not just on LaFleur and Rodgers. That falls on Gutekunst. He did a piss-poor job in evaluating the talent at receiver. He thought he overplayed his hand. Simple as that. He thought he had more talent than he does. So, hey, maybe if he had addressed it in the drafts prior, that might have helped. I'm going to keep saying that. Sorry, I'm just going to keep saying it. Because it was a major whiff from him. The defense, yeah, they sure don't have heart, do they? Third week in a row now. Third week in a row when this defense absolutely had to get a stop. They were in a got-to-get-a-stop situation, and they couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Again, the third nine play. What was it, like 2:23 to go, I think it was? 2.5 minutes? You got to stop there. You're in excellent shape to win the game. 3rd and 9. Couldn't do it. Couldn't get stops really the entire second half when they were needed. It's all fake. It's all a mirage with this defense. It's not good. You know? It's really, right now, this defense is one of the most disappointing groups. As far as specific sides of the ball, they're one of the most disappointing groups I've ever seen. Considering we thought this group had the talent and the experience and the cohesiveness to be one of the top 5, 6, 7 groups in the NFL. And it hasn't happened at all. Really disappointing. They still can't stop the run. Robinson and Gibson combined 30 carries. What is that? 132 yards? 132 yards from those guys. And then Samuel throwing in 26 on 5 carries. So really the top three, 35 for what is that? 120, 132. 35 for 158. Is that right? 120, 132. Yeah, 35 for 158 from those three. So yeah, pathetic. Can't stop the run, can't get off the field when they need to. What do they do well? Not much. No, they don't tackle well. There's another thing. The tackling is absolutely atrocious. Abysmal tackling. Really bad. A lot of Ole tackling from this group. Yeah, they do. You're right. They lack heart. Yeah, you're right. They're hard to watch. Yeah, I agree. Good stuff, Phil. Thank you for sending that. Next one comes from Kyle Trepenning, the first of the Kyles who refuses to get Twitter. Kyle writes, I'm starting to think the Packers won't win a game the rest of the season. I mean, Washington is one of the worst teams in the league, and we lost anyways. Can anyone honestly say we have a chance to win any game the rest of the season? This team isn't just mediocre, it's pathetic. I have absolutely no doubt that we now will be picking in the top 5. But I have lost all faith in LaFleur. I do not believe he is a good coach at all. And Barry is a drooling idiot. At every level, this team is a disaster. All those picks on defense, and this is what we get? Forget picking up a wide receiver at the deadline. I think we need to be sellers. Time to begin rebuilding. The Super Bowl window has slammed shut and locked. On the only bright side, the Packers being this bad is almost a relief. I will never stop being a fan. I will never stop watching. I will never stop rooting and cheering for a win. But now I know they aren't going to be winning many games this year, if any, so that pressure is gone. I can just watch for the fandom. Go, Pack, go. Kyle bringing the heat. Ooh, I think you touched 97 on the gun on that email. Good stuff, brother. All right, so a lot to unpack here. Let's go. Well, I think they'll probably win. God, I hope they'll win at least a game or two the rest of the way. Considering they played Detroit twice in Chicago, I think they'll win another game before the end of the season. I hope. But you're right, Washington is bad playing their backup quarterback. And the Packers just couldn't stop him after that pick six. He just, you know, he had his way with them. At least within the confines of being a backup quarterback. It wasn't like he was like, you know, putting up Joe Burrow or Josh Allen numbers or anything. But for a backup quarterback, yeah, to put up the numbers he did after the Campbell pick, yeah, that's kind of having your way with the defense, I think. Burp, got to keep it real. Yeah, and they have been pathetic. Yeah, I don't know if they'll be picking in the top 5. But I think a top 10 pick at this point is certainly in play. Yeah, that could happen. I don't blame you for having lost all faith in LaFleur. I've definitely lost a lot of my faith in him. You know, I said a couple weeks ago on the show that, oh, we all thought this guy was going to be, you know, a McCarthy or a Holmgren or even a Lombardi maybe. Well, maybe not a Lombardi, but a McCarthy or a Holmgren. And he might be a Sherman. I actually think that might be insulting to Mike Sherman. At least Mike Sherman's teams played hard at all times. Even that year they went 4-12, it was 4-12, right? In 2005? Yeah. Even the 4-12 year, that team played hard most of the year. They never quit. I don't remember too many lifeless performances from that team along the lines of what we've seen this year. So I don't even know. That might have been insulting to Mike Sherman to say that. I'm way down on LaFleur. I agree with you there. Because there's a lot of coaches that can coach well when shit's going well. How do you do when things are hitting the skids? That, to me, is like a real test of a great coach. So far, LaFleur is failing that test miserably. And what is really his first adversity as head coach of the Packers. Barry, yeah. Yeah, there was still... I thought they blitzed more today. I said last week I wanted to see people... I thought there was more of that, but the soft zone stuff was still there. At times, which was bad. They still can't stop the run. They still can't tackle consistently. Yeah. It's not looking good for Joe. I'll say that. What else? Being sellers at the deadline. That's interesting. I don't know. I'm not there yet. I know I saw a lot of people say... I know I joked about Aaron Jones saying, can I just stay in Buffalo? I'm not there yet. And also, I'm not really sure who they would trade. I've seen a lot of this. I suppose if you were going to trade... Because I saw people saying trade Rodgers to San Francisco because Jimmy G is the only thing holding them back. I'm like, well, yeah. On paper, that makes sense, but that's not going to happen. So who would they even trade? You know, like you could trade Jones. Yeah, you could maybe trade Tonyan. Sure. Maybe Lazard. I'm just thinking, not things that will happen, but just, guys, hypothetically, it's not 0% possible, you know? Jones, Tonyan, Lazard, I think could be traded. Maybe Sammy Watkins. Defensively, maybe a guy like Adrian Amos, whose contract is expiring. Yeah, I guess they'd have a few pieces they could trade. I don't know how much you get for any of those guys outside of Jones. So, I'm not there yet, but... the fact that we're even talking about this, what happened? How the fuck did this happen? And you're right. It's not, look, I saw a lot of stuff about people. You can be a fan and know they're bad. What is this universe where these things can't exist together? You can be a fan and say that they stink. Like, what is this, like, you can't ever say anything negative about the team? Who started this? So I'm with you, Kyle. Like, you can, it's fair, you, yeah, for sure. All right, so our next one comes from Sean. Sean, who titles his email, I don't know. Good title, Sean. I don't know either. Sean writes, Lemps, I don't know what to say. It was a disappointing game all around. They are terrible in all three phases. I'm usually very optimistic, but it's looking like a lost season. If Rodgers retires after the season, what does that do to our cap for next year? Oh, good question, Sean. Well, before we get to that, you're right. It was a disappointing game, and I haven't even talked about the special teams yet. Amari Rodgers can't return punts anymore. That he fumbled again today. And that fumble was a real momentum shifter. No question about it. That gave Washington new life. That's not acceptable. And it continues to be a problem with him. Someone said it was his fifth fumble in less than a year and a half. That's unacceptable. Unacceptable. He can't return punts. Yeah, the special teams are disappointing. You know, O'Donnell had some really, really nice punts. He had a couple of whiffs, too. But, so yeah, it was a disappointing performance in the special teams again, I would say. So you're right, all three phases, because I hadn't talked about them yet. Okay, so if Rodgers retires after the season, now his contract is very complicated. And I'm not going to go into all the details because they'll make your head spin, because even now they make my head spin. As far as option bonuses and all this other crap. As far as I know, if he retires after the season, it's a $40 million cap hit. It's a $40 million dead cap going forward. Now, I believe the Packers can take that over 2 years. And I can't remember now if it's $25 million, they can split it. So it'll be a $25 million dead hit next year and a $15 million dead hit in 2024. I can't remember if it's 25 and 15 or 15 and 25. But either way, they can basically split that in half over 2 years, or they can elect to take the hit all at once, which is what I would do. I would take the $40 million hit at once, swallow the pill, cut some guys. If you have to cut a bunch of guys, you have to do it. Play Jordan Love and just let's go fully rebuild, you know? Not fully. I mean, you keep guys like Clark and Gary and Ja and players like that, but a lot of other guys would be gone. Yeah. Yeah. I would rather take the hit all at once. So I believe it's $40 million. So, yeah. Thank you for that, Sean. Our next one comes from KT, who titles his email, "The Pack is Whack." I love these email titles. Very inventive. He writes, "Let me preface by saying I did not watch this game. My knowledge of the happenings and goings-on mostly came from my Twitter feed and the sporadic updates from my fantasy team. I apparently did not miss much. Week one was a fluke, we all said. But the last 3 weeks have been a giant FU for thinking this team might be a contender. In the simplest terms, this team is weak. Mentally feeble. This team has no heart, no grit, no tenacity. When this happens, you have to look at leadership all across the board. Front office, coaching, and the captains are all to blame. This team is broken, and unfortunately, there are no positives to build off of from this lost season. I don't know how they respond, but they will get destroyed next week by the Bills. What I thought could be a 9-8 team 2 weeks ago now looks like a 6-11 team at best. Rodgers is easy to point fingers at, and there are plenty of issues on his part. But it's bad for every position. The our character will be tested card will now be played. Unfortunately, everyone has cashed in their mediocre pile of chips. I'm at a loss for words. Your friend in Packers woe, KT." All right, good stuff, KT. The Pack is indeed whack. At least right now. I touched on some of this stuff, but I agree with everything you're saying, you know? They don't have any heart. There's no toughness in this team. There's no zip. There's no punch. There's no juice. You might see it for a little bit, but then it's gone. Flashes. I keep using that word every week. You see flashes a little bit of things. Flashes of playing well. Flashes of energy. Flashes of effort. But nothing consistent. You're right. There aren't like a lot of positive. You're looking for the... I mean, you're right. It's everybody. That's right. And that's what I said at the beginning. You know, I said everybody's going to point the finger at Rodgers and LaFleur and go, it's all them. Now, I said there's degrees to this and they're right at the top. But it's not all them. It's the defense has been terrible. They can't get off the field when they need to. Can't tackle. Can't cover now. You know, drop balls, bad special teams, bad coaching decisions, bad play calling. You're right. It's everybody. Everybody's been bad. I want to stress that. Everybody has been bad. Front office, too. Talked about Gutekunst. It's all on everybody. I think there's some are there a lot of positives to look for future? Rashawn Gary? And maybe Rashawn Gary? Is that it? It's not my agree. There's not a lot. There's some, but I can't really think of a ton right now. Maybe some of the young offensive linemen? I don't know. Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I mean, I agree with most of this, for sure. Yeah. So thank you for sending that, KT. Our next one comes from Rich, who titles his email, "We Are Who We Are." Rich writes, "Okay, I wish I was wrong, but we have to accept that the last dance was last year. This year is a mirage. The next game we should be favored to win is against the Bears in Week 13. It is a case study in what happens when you methodically ignore the adage, cut an athlete loose a year early rather than a year too late. We as fans need to be realistic. The goal we need to point Goot and LaFleur towards is building a team to compete for the Super Bowl after the 2025 season. I know they can't say we are headed into rebuilding phase, but that doesn't change the reality that we are looking at one for the first time in 3 decades. It will not be fun, but all cap and personnel decisions need to be seen in terms of the future rather than the present. Murphy should resign at the end of this season, not in shame, but to allow the next man up to start at the beginning. Sorry this is so long, Rich." I don't mind if it's long. Hell, send that shit. I don't care. Okay, Rich. So, yeah, I don't know. The Bears, I'd probably be favored to beat the Lions, I would think. Not next weekend, but the weekend after. So, I don't know. I would say probably you don't want to wait till week 13 for that. But you're right. That's a great point, you know. They hung on to Rodgers too long. They waited a year too long. Like I said at the beginning of the show, I said this after the San Francisco game. I'm not like a Johnny come lately on this. I said this after the San Francisco. It was time. It was time to get rid of Rodgers and Adams and get the picks and go, okay, on defense, we have Kenny Clark, we have Gary, and we have John the back end. We have a stud all-world player at each level of defense. That's the starting point that we build around, right? Or that's what we'd lean on. and we build around that, and while we're, and the running game are the things we, that's what we lean on, while we're building an offense around Jordan Love so we can see if he's the guy. Right? Take those picks, build an offense, and then if Love isn't the guy, well, at least you've got an offense ready for the next guy. That should have been the plan. That should have been the plan and the approach, and instead, like a degenerate gambler, Gutekunst went back to the ATM at 3 o'clock in the morning. If I just take out $100 more, I know that next win in hand is coming. I know I can win this thing. Instead of just going home, he took out money from Junior's college fund to go back up to the blackjack table to play a few more hands. To play one more hand. You know? And that was bad. That was a big mistake. And that's going to hurt this team. Not just now, but it's going to hurt them going forward because it's going to make the cap... Rodgers retiring is going to make the cap situation even worse. Whenever it happens. If it's this year, it gets worse. Go look at his contract. After this season, after next season and the year, it gets... Every year it gets worse. The cap hit gets bigger. They're going to need a massive cap spike to bury him out, to bail him out of this. So... You're right. They should have gotten rid of him. Either let him retire or traded him. Instead, they begged him to come back, which I thought was a terrible look. You're the Green Bay Packers. Have some pride, for God's sakes. You know? They all but licked his boots to get him to come back. Did you think I was going to say something other than boots? Anyway. I don't know if this is the... I don't know if we have to wait till 2025 because it's the NFL. You know, you hit on a couple of drafts and a couple of savvy free agent signings and you get the right quarterback, you can be good pretty quick. You can be good again pretty quick. So I don't know if I agree with that. And I will say it's not their first... This won't be their first rebuilding phase in three decades because they did that when Ted took over. Ted gutted that team in 05. Right after the 04 season. Heading into 05, he gutted the team. So they were going through a rebuild then. So it won't be the first one, but it'll be one of the first one. It'll be one of the few they've gone through in three decades. And Murphy, I see what you're saying. I don't know if Murphy will do that. I think he'll stay till his time is up as president of the team. But I see what you're saying, yeah. All right. Thank you for that, Rich. Next one comes from Kyle, who used to have Twitter, got rid of it, got it again, and then got rid of it again. The other Kyle. Whew, this is a long one. He titles his email, Lemps Talkin' Pain. Hi, Chris. Hopefully I didn't miss the cutoff this week. Lots to say, sorry in advance. This team is a Rorschach test of why they are so terrible. Members of Packer Nation are staring at this team and coming up with different conclusions on why they suck so much right now. And you know what? They're all right to varying degrees. Some may look at it and point to the defense. Ungodly amount of resources poured in and still can't pull together a coherent 60 minutes. All swag, no substance. Others may point to the special teams. Unit is basically good for one turnover a game with little upside. Thought there was no way to go but up for this unit. We were mistaken. You can make a case this front office hasn't done enough to acquire talent for the offense. Draft history 100% supports this. They also appear to have missed pretty big in this year's gotta-have-it draft. The one criticism I am not buying is they aren't going all in. They gave a 38-year-old quarterback a 3-year, $150 million deal, while pushing the cap consequences to future years. That's all in, just not the kind of all in people want. You can blame the coaches. They aren't doing enough with the talent they have. No position group is playing consistent or good enough. LaFleur isn't pulling this team together. For me, I look at this ink blot, and all I see is a lifeless skull with terrible hair. People might say it's not fair to put this all on Rodgers, but he spent the last 2 years making it all about him, so this seems fitting. He isn't just playing bad for his own standards, he's playing bad for league standards, and we 100% know he is the reason this team isn't running the ball more. But his receivers aren't getting open. Go check Next Gen Stats. Dobbs has elite-level separation. But Rodgers would rather key in on Lazard. It worked when he keyed in on Adams, but not anymore. Other QBs who lost their marquee receiver are making it work. This team has no excuse not to either. Mahomes threw for 423 yards and 3 touchdowns. Even if you take out Kelsey, That's still 325 yards and still two tutties. That's what a $50 million quarterback should do. Win handily, throwing to wide receivers who are average. Oh, and did I mention Mahomes went into Levi's Stadium and put up 44 on the 49ers? The same 49ers who Rodgers peed down his leg against in the playoffs this year? This is a guy who seems to be calling it in for the paycheck. Basically Adam Sandler and grown-ups. I don't care if it's me, you, and the other Kyle, sup bro, at receiver. For $50 million a year, you make it work. Imagine this team with way more cap room, a top 10, and a top 40 draft pick this past year. Oh, and a first and second next year. With Jordan Love starting. Is that team 3-4? Shit, probably, and maybe even better. Instead, we are straddled with a guy who doesn't appear interested in making it work, who you can't really bench. I truly hope he turns it around, but just watching the inability to move it downfield, unwillingness to play in any sort of rhythm system, and lack of fire, I just doubt it. And it feels like he's going to namaste apathetic and bad. Sorry, couldn't resist. But yeah, because reasons, they will go into Buffalo next week and win by 20. Ugh, Kyle. And screw the announcers for keeping pushing this the wide receivers aren't any good narrative and absolving Rodgers of any wrongdoing frustrating. Holy shit, Kyle. You brought it! I think that one touched 100 on the gun, that email. That's fair to say, 100? What's the readout? 100? 100 miles an hour? Whew! Bringing the heat! Kyle's bringing the heat every week, win or lose. All right. So, I don't even know where to start here. Lot to unpack. You're right about it being a Rorschach test. I talked about that. A lot of people are pointing the finger at this or that or that, you know. I think some of that is because it's easier to generate clicks that way. And, you know, it's easier if I just blame one thing. But you're right. I mean, you're right. Everybody's right. Like I said, like you said and like I said earlier, there's degrees to this shit. You know, yeah, you're right about the defense. Also, I mean, you know, the defense, I mentioned, they should have had four turns. They could have picked off Heinicke four times in the first quarter and a half. Four times. And they only got the one. Imagine if they'd got all four. Good defenses get those turnovers. This is, what is it, five turnovers for this group now in 7 weeks? Is that right? I think it's two interceptions. Yeah, just the two interceptions and then three fumble recoveries. That's pathetic. You know, good defenses, they don't just get their hands on those balls. They seal the deal. If they'd picked him off four times in the first quarter and a half like they could have, that would have been a blowout. So, yeah, you're right. All swag, no substance. You're right about the special teams. Yeah, I agree with you, the front office. They definitely, anybody who says they didn't go all in is out of their mind. This team went 110% all in to win. You know? Go, again, look at their cap for next year. And even the year after, it's not great. They did all this because they wanted to win. They wanted to get a ring, and they wanted to win with Aaron Rodgers. This is the definition of all in. Absolutely. Yeah, you're right about LaFleur. So you went in pretty heavy on Rodgers, and I agree. You're right. People go, oh, it's not all about him. I had somebody say, oh, he's 1 of 22. Come on, man. Come on, he's the quarterback. He makes $50 million a year. 1 of 20, no, Aaron Rodgers is not, as his responsibility is not equal to John Runyon Jr.'s. No, it isn't. No. No. And you can't say that. Rodgers is more responsible. That's what comes with being a quarterback. Right? Too much of the credit, too much of the blame. That's the deal. So I agree with you. Yeah, I mean he has been bad. He's been a bottom 10 quarterback this year. Oh, yeah, no question. I mean, it's hard for me to kind of go. I mean, I agree with everything you're saying, you know? I don't really have too much to add to this because I think a lot of this is spot on. You're right. What Mahomes did to San Francisco today is what we thought Rodgers was going to be doing. And you're right. Even if you take away Kelsey, these other guys were lighting it up. And he's making it work. Nice Adam Sandler reference. Good stuff. Yeah, it's just, you know, yeah. I can't really add too much to this. This is pretty much spot on, Kyle. Good stuff. So thank you for that. I try to add something, but I don't really know what to add there. Again, that was great. Our next one, positively negated emotions, comes from Andy Heath. He writes, Lemps, at least the emotion and anticipation of wanting to win is gone. Trying very hard to come up with any positives out of that stinker in the Capitol. Okay, here's a few. Devondre Campbell was a beast and by far his best game as a Packer. Defense breaking up passes and getting hands on the ball. Possibly 2 to 3 more interceptions, but dropped, but only in first half. Happy to see Toure get his first catch. They should try him out next Sunday night and feed him to the Bills. What the hey? Thankfully, I recorded it and for the fast forward button on my remote to quickly get through this one. On to the negatives. 11 dropped passes and or punts. Isn't it the receiver's job to just catch the ball? Who cares about Yak anyways? Overrated at this point. Rodgers' body language... What's going on here? There we go. Rodgers' body language, but can't help but agree with it. It's starting to characterize the entire team's lackluster attitude. LaFleur's just have fun message didn't resonate. I guess they need to buy a ping pong table with their logo like the Dolphins. Or set up pickleball for the guys during the week. Poor tackling again, especially Quay Walker. On Saturday night, my wife and I watched Women's Rugby World Cup. Before I can say anything, my wife commented, "Wow, those ladies should show the Packers how to tackle and drive their opponent to the ground." The calls on the field were atrocious. Sad, but again, emotions have now been removed on behalf of this exhaustingly out-of-sync team. Always a Packer fan, won't jump to another bandwagon, but the taste of the 80s is upon us, and possible blacked-out games from non-sellouts, as us Packer fans are fed up with the hype and then utter disappointment. Regards, Andy Heath. All right, thank you, Andy. A lot here. I'm kind of proud that I'm the guy that you guys, like, all cut the vein open for. You know, you pour it all out, man. I like that. I do appreciate that. That's awesome. Do a lot of other podcasters get this? I feel like they don't. I do, so I welcome that. That's great. All right. So we'll go try to rapid fire these. Devondre was awesome. That pick six was fantastic. He got there. He fought for the ball. He ripped it away. Hit the sidelines. Was gone. Made a couple other nice plays too. You noticed him. It was a good game for him to build off of. I agree. The defense, I would disagree with you a little bit there. You know, they got their hands on the ball, but you got to pick those off. A lot of those were plays they should have picked. And again, like I said a minute ago, if they picked those off, much different game. Toure got in, got his first catch. I don't see what the harm is in giving him some run. And Rodgers, too. Now, I said on Twitter they should cut Rodgers after that fumble. I'm going to back off on that, though. I actually think he still brings something as a receiver. I just don't think he brings anything as a returner. I don't think he should return punts anymore. But why not give him and Toure some more run? What the hell? How could it hurt? I agree. Fast forward button would have been nice. That first half was like an hour, was like almost 2 hours. That was a saga. It was like a fucking Lord of the Rings movie or something. It never ended. The 11 drop passes, was it 11? It was bad. I don't know if it was that high, but it was bad. You're right, Andy. It was bad. You're right. They got to catch the ball. That's the number one job. It's right there in the job title. Receiver. Receive it. Catch it. I don't like Rodgers' body language. I talked a lot about that, but you're right. I do think, I said this last week, a team can't help but feed off of the energy from its quarterback, positive or negative. And his vibe right now sucks, and it's sucked all year. So, of course, this team is feeding off of that. Absolutely. Yeah, you're right. It's definitely permeating everything. The ping pong ball thing made me laugh. Yeah, I said LaFleur just have fun. I said on Twitter this week, if you ever play the game Mike Tyson's Punch-Out for Nintendo, there's a moment if you're fighting, no matter who it is, if it's Bald Bull or Piston Honda or whoever, there's a moment in the fight after each round, your opponent, it'll show your opponent, this is the Nintendo version now from like the late 80s, it'll show your opponent and the opponent will trash talk you, and then your manager will, Mac, or is it the manager's name was Mac? Whatever the manager's name was, he would give you some advice. He'd be like, you know, dodge his uppercut and hit him with a jab or whatever. There was a moment in that game, if you remember, when if you were just getting your ass kicked and your manager had run out of advice, he would simply say, join the Nintendo Fun Club. And that was kind of the cue for like, oh, I'm not going to win this fight, am I? So I thought it was funny when LaFleur was like, hey, just have fun out there. I was like, oh, is this like him saying, I don't know what else to do. Join the Nintendo Fun Club. I was like, I sure hope not, because this season's over if that's the case. So still, the jury's out on that, because that might be, I mean, who knows, maybe that was what he was saying. The tackling was bad. It's really, really bad. You know, and hey, if those Women's Rugby World Cup people want to come and help, I'm all for it. Tackling is effort. to me. Tackling is want to. Putting your head down and delivering a shot. You know? Getting your hands dirty. That's such a huge part of tackling. It's not all of it, but it's a huge part of it. And for a team that hasn't shown much heart or juice, yeah. That's, again, that's trickled down to the tackling. I think it's a big reason why the tackling has been crap this year. You know, I think it very much symbolizes the overall effort level of the team. And yes, there were some bad calls. I still can't believe they called illegal contact on Stokes that wiped out what would have been a scoop and score from Rasul Douglas. When was that? Somewhere in the first half. That was terrible. That was an abysmal call. The receiver basically ran into Stokes and somehow got the flag. That was a horseshit ticky-tack call. I hated it then. I hate it even more now because that might have busted the game open, you know? Packers scored though, they may not look back. But, so yeah, there was definitely some bad officiating. I agree. I hate that call. I don't know if we'll get blacked out games if it turns into the 80s. It's interesting because those tickets aren't cheap now. You know, they've been able to raise ticket prices to near astronomical levels because, you know, they just keep winning and they keep being good. Are they going to be able to do that if the team is bad? If it does, you know, if they do go into a rebuild and hit the skids for a couple years, it'll be interesting to see. Especially in a state where we've got Giannis. You know, it's easy to see people in the state going, I don't know if I want to spend my money on the Packers. Maybe I'll go to Milwaukee and catch a Bucks game. So it is something to keep an eye on. I'm curious to see what Lambeau will look like if this team is bad in this new era of expensive tickets and expensive hotels. And it'll be interesting to see. Yeah. Because it's going to happen one day or another. All right. Last one comes from Clown Convention, CC. CC writes, Lamps, another difficult second half. Hard to watch. I for sure don't need to see any more full camera shots of that ref. Being as dreadful as they were on third downs on both sides of the ball is a surefire recipe for an L. Are you done with Amari like I am? The guy might work hard, but I've seen enough to say he's just not an NFL-caliber player. If he turns out to be productive for another team, so be it. Care to weigh in on your preferred O-line after the change-ups? CC. Okay. Hold on a sec. I just want to make sure. Is that the last email? We got Phil, Kyle, Rich, Sean, Kyle, Rich, Kyle, Andy. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, is this going to be the you just keep getting longer, these shows. I'm like, this one's going to be short tonight. Yeah, I don't need to. I feel like I saw that ref a lot. It definitely kind of felt like a ref show today. Yeah, I saw that guy so much. I feel like I could draw his face with my eyes closed. That's how much of him I saw in this game. Can't think of the head ref's name, but yeah. They were dreadful. Yeah, they didn't convert a first down. Not counting third downs they converted via penalty. They didn't convert a first down. Was it first time since week 6 of 99? I guess, was it the Broncos or Seattle? Whew, that 99 team. Whew, that was the Ray Rhodes year. That was a tough year. So the fact that this team did something that we haven't seen since that 99 team, that kind of tells you about this Packers club, I think. It's kind of illuminating in that sense, wouldn't you say? I'm done with him, Amari. I'm done with Amari as far as a returner. But I still think there might be something there as a receiver. I'm not totally ready to give up on it because we really haven't seen it. You know? With these injuries and stuff, maybe he'll get some run. I want to see it. I'm not saying he's going to be a good receiver, but I want to make sure he's not. Because we know he's not a returner. So if we give him some run as a receiver and it doesn't work, then I'm ready to move on, yes. My preferred O-line, well, I thought today's was pretty productive. You know, Bakhtiari, let's talk about that quick. Bakhtiari's not, this has to be the last year for Bakhtiari. Look, I love Bakhtiari. We all do. The guy was probably the best left tackle on earth for, what, like 5 years? Great player. Had a great career. But it's over. Left tackle is too crucial of a spot to be doing this two steps forward, one step back, one step forward, another, you know, all that shit, that back and forth stuff, you know? Plays 2 weeks, now he misses a week. Now, play, you know what I mean? You can't do that at left tackle. It's just, I'm sorry, you can't. And we all know how hard he's worked. This isn't me dogging Bakhtiari. We know how hard he's worked and how frustrated he is. I understand all of that. But if you can't rely on a guy to be there every week, no matter what, you got to move on. So yeah, this has to be Bakhtiari's last year in Green Bay. Unless he can get on the field and stay on the field the rest of the way, no, this is probably it. Yeah, because I think they save $6 million if they cut him. This has to be it. Yeah, I'm sorry. I hate saying that. It breaks my heart. But, so after the change, I kind of like the offensive line they went with today. Tom, Jenkins, Myers, Runyon, Yash. I kind of thought that was productive. You know, I thought Rogers wasn't sacked or hit. Was he? I don't think he was hit, was he? Let me check that quick. He was hit one time. So he was hit one time, and he wasn't sacked. That's pretty good. The pass protection was there. Now, they've got to do better in the run game, but maybe that'll come with playing together. So, if I was to say my preferred, I would say stick with this group. Yeah, they probably won't. They'll probably put Bach back in there at left tackle, but I would stick with this group. Absolutely. Yeah. So, thank you for that. Those are all the emails. Whew. Almost there. All right, let's go to... I kid. Our first message comes from... Where are we here? So this is Facebook now. Okay. Our first one comes from Sean LaFond, who writes simply, "Your show is the therapy I need this season." Well, I appreciate that. Again, I hope you guys feel better after listening to this. I know I do. It's nice to have this outlet to come on here and just, you know, say all this stuff. I definitely feel like I've got it. I get it all out of my system. I purge it. So I hope listening to the show provides that same feeling for you guys and gals as well. Definitely, that's something I aim for here. You know, if they win, I hope my joy adds to your joy. And if they lose, I hope me doing this makes you feel less sad. You know, it makes you feel better. So thank you for that, Sean. Our next one comes from... Rob from across the pond over there in London. Rob writes, "Wow, what did I just see? Top to bottom, this was a poor performance. But after the presser, my frustration in 12 grows. Yes, it isn't all his fault. But I still don't hear him mention his issues before mentioning others. And if you listen, he always loosely drops things related to his performance very softly. But I also saw the Patriots' third or fourth QB do well against us. And today, PJ Walker, who smashed the Bucs. Is Rodgers, or was, just a regular season MVP, and has he been spoiled with talent like Jennings, Driver, Nelson, Cobb, and Adams to evaluate his godlike ability? And I am not doubting his was a really good QB. I've just rarely seen him help develop wide receivers much, barring Adams. We all would like a flashy new car, but sometimes they are just too damn expensive, LOL." I assume the new car thing is talking about trading for a receiver, in which case, yes. They're not going to do it. They're not going to trade for a receiver. Did you see what McCaffrey went for, everybody? DJ Moore's going to be at least a first-round pick. Probably a first-round pick plus. Why would you give that up? When we don't even know if Rodgers is going to be the quarterback next year. You can't do it. You know? Bill Huber, I believe it was, from Sports Illustrated, used to write for Packer Report, I think. Said the Steelers, his sources are telling him the Steelers are looking for at least the McCaffrey package for Chase Claypool. So a second, third, and fourth, and then a fifth down the road. You're going to give up that for Chase Claypool? A guy who you're going to have to sign to a contract extension after the season? Again, with the cap issues I've already talked about? They're not trading for a receiver. There's nobody that they can get. To get a receiver, it would have to be somebody who's cheap, doesn't have a new contract coming up, and someone who won't cost a lot. Name me one receiver that checks all those boxes. Maybe Elijah Moore from the Jets. But I have a feeling they're not going to give him up for nothing. How many receivers can you think of that won't cost much in terms of compensation for picks, won't cost much as far as contract, and can step in and make a difference right away? You have to find a guy who checks all three boxes. I don't think that player is available, so I agree with you on that. I think that's what you're talking about anyway. Yeah, lack of accountability has always been a problem for me with Rodgers. Things are never really his fault. I've always taken issue with that. I agree. For sure. And you're right. I mean, you know, PJ Walker kicked the shit out of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers today, so kind of makes our performance against them look a little less impressive. Now, is interesting point, was Rodgers just a regular season MVP? I wouldn't say that, but certainly his playoff performances often leave something to be desired. You know? You think about how he played against Dallas when they went into Dallas and won in the division round. He was brilliant. You know, or when they beat Dallas at home in the 2015 playoffs, 2014 season, he was brilliant. But it feels like for every one of those, there's a whole stack of games playoff games where he's just kind of average. Certainly he hasn't been great in any of the NFC Championship games they've played in. You know, go look at the stats on that. He hasn't been good in any of them. He hasn't elevated the team in a single one. You know, even the one they won, it was against the Bears. It was because they won because of their defense and the special teams. So, no, he hasn't really elevated his play. So I don't know if he's just a regular season MVP, but he hasn't been quite the playoff performer that I think we would have expected. He's had a lot of talent. Sure, most great quarterbacks have. But it's an interesting point about having him develop receivers. I don't think he elevates. I don't know how many receivers he's elevated. That's a really interesting point. Because he's had a lot of great talent. But how many guys has he elevated that maybe weren't great or didn't appear to be? That's an interesting point. I hadn't thought about that. But, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, something to think about. So I agree, Rob. Good stuff. Okay, I got to go back to Twitter quick because I do have one more I forgot about. It's from Elijah Price at DavidDunn21. I've been on his podcast a few times. He's a good dude. He'll probably have me. He usually has me on after the Packers get eliminated from the playoffs. I have a feeling I may be going on earlier this year or next year, I guess, than in years past. Early January as opposed to like early February. Dave writes in, question of the week. So currently with one Super Bowl appearance, Rodgers is still behind Favre and Starr, yes? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think he's the third best quarterback in team history. I would say probably Bart Starr's one, Favre two, and then Rodgers three. Because Starr doesn't have the numbers, but the thing with Starr is Starr played in an era when like defenses could be defenses. And quarterbacks got the shit beat out of them. You know? Oh, my God. Go back and watch some of that NFL film stuff from the 60s. Oh, my God. Quarterbacks got murdered. And refs were just like, whatever. Part of the game. You know? Deacon Jones playing with a club on his hand and smacking quarterbacks in the head. Like, you know? Oh, my God. So, I think Starr's the best. Yeah, and he won the most. Certainly. Those great Lombardi teams. And I probably would put Favre ahead of Rodgers. I would. It's close, but, you know, Favre, yeah, made it to two Super Bowls. You know? And Favre played, and defenses could still be defenses. That's the thing. Rodgers' numbers, and I don't want to shit on him because he's put up great numbers, historic numbers. But a lot of guys playing now, too. It's almost impossible to play defense. The game is so slanted towards the offense. What would Rodgers' numbers, what would they look like? If he'd played when Favre played or when Starr played, who knows? They'd certainly be a lot lower, I think. A lot lower in the case of Starr's era, lower in the case of Favre's. But yeah, I mean, he's just been to the one Super Bowl, and that matters to me. I know people get mad about that stuff, but it matters to me. I think it matters to you too, Elijah. So, yeah, I'd say he's third. Yeah, I would say Rodgers is the third best quarterback in team history. Yeah. That's less a knock on Rodgers, I think, than just talking about how great this team's had it. But yeah. Okay, last one comes from my former Old Bag of Donuts podcast co-host, one of my bestest friends in the world, Gene Bosling. I give Gene the hammer every week, no exception. I will not put this loss on the officials. This team does not deserve it. It must own this one from top to bottom. The flawed idea it could pair Rodgers with a bunch of rookies. The inability to open holes for the running backs. The lack of any tempo on offense, especially when necessary. The drops, oh, the drops. The problems are mostly focused on the offense, as I see it. You can't ask a defense to go back out there over and over and over and not give up a few drives. Not the way the game is played and officiated these days. To that end, I see no fix for this team. There's no trade, no team meeting that will fix it. And here's the worst part of it to me. This performance gave Aaron Rodgers, a man who spent so much of his time trying to cast himself as the victim, a reason to look like the victim. Good stuff. Okay. Yes. You're right. It's not on the officials. You're right. And everybody owns it. You're right. Everybody eats shit on this one. 110%. Yeah, and I was wrong. You know, I thought Rodgers would elevate this group of receivers. These young guys. I thought he's too good and too stubborn. He's going to want to show it wasn't all Adams. You know. He's going to want to show that he's more than just playing with Devontae Adams. He's going to rise to the occasion. And he hasn't. He's sunk. Yeah, the running, their offensive line was bad in the run game. The tempo was really bad. You know? You're right. Even down the stretch when they were wasting oodles of time down the stretch. I'm going, come on, let's pick it up. We're some tempo. And they're there huddling up. I'm like, you got to go no huddle or muddle huddle or call two or three plays in the huddle. Like, some speed, some tempo. Especially them, but really at any point in the game, just try it. Try going faster. It's been very frustrating. And the drops were bad. Yeah, I talked about that. You're right, it is mostly the offense. I mean, the defense has been fool's gold and has been incredibly disappointing. But you're right, the offense is, yeah, has been bad. I think it's probably more, I don't know if I'd say mostly focused on the offense, but it's more on the offense than anything else. Because it's the Green Bay Packers. They're an offensive football team. So yeah, I would agree with you there. Even as disappointing as the defense has been, I would say that. And you're right, there's no trade. There's no magic bullet that's going to fix this thing. You know, I've said this before, it reminds me of Billy Bob's line in Friday Night Lights, which is one of my favorite movies. Where he says, you're small, and you're going to be small. Ain't no growth spurts happening during the season. That's this team. You are who you are. Ain't no reinforcements coming. This is who you are. Sink or swim. I 110% agree. Yeah, and you're right. I mean, I agree with you for the most part, yeah. You know, the drops and the... That definitely kind of gives Rodgers an out on this one, but he didn't play very well either. It's everybody. Like you said, it's everybody. Everybody eats shit on this one. So yeah, I agree. Good stuff, Gene. Okay. That's everybody. So thank you for all of those questions and comments. Always appreciated. Nice to see people haven't checked out yet. I was genuinely concerned people might just be too beaten down by this team to even send anything along. Clearly that was not the case. Glad to see it. Big picture time now. Almost, oh my God, 1 hour and 22 minutes in. The Green Bay Packers are lost. Rudderless. Adrift at sea. Every area of this team has failed. And as a result, the team has little in the way of an identity. They aren't even able to hang their helmets on hard work and effort and smarts. They look like, in the words of my late father, just another team, absolutely nothing special. And that's just what we've seen during the easier part of their schedule. These were the games they were supposed to win, remember? It ramps up now. Trips to Buffalo, Miami, and Philadelphia await them, as do home contests with Dallas, Minnesota, Tennessee, and the world champion LA Rams. Based on what we've seen thus far, how could you ever expect Green Bay to win more than maybe one or two of those contests? If that. If that's the case, this team will likely be on their couches come January, even if they dominate the lowly Bears and Lions in the remaining three contests on the schedule. For a team this talented, this experienced, to miss the playoffs, why, that would be the final nail in the coffin for one of the most disappointing Packers seasons in team history. As Bob Dylan once sang, it's not dark yet, but it's getting there. And if you're the religious type, maybe, even if you aren't, now might be the time to start praying for some miracles. Okay, that just about wraps up this episode of Lem's Talkin' Pack. I hope you had, well, as I keep saying over and over, I don't know if you'd categorize this shit as fun, but I hope you feel better. God, if I've done anything in the last 83 minutes, I hope you feel better. I really do. I know I do, at least a little bit. We look ahead to next week now. Oh my God, the Packers next week are back on Sunday Night Football. In front of the nation, back on the road as they head to Buffalo. Oh my God, Buffalo to take on the mighty Bills. Oh my God, this one is set for a 7:20 Lambeau time start. The early line is Bills minus 10.5, which I believe would be the biggest line against Aaron Rodgers ever, right? That has to be the largest one. Pretty sure it is. I mean, and that makes sense. Look, the Bills are loaded. They need no introduction here. They're pretty much good everywhere. Led by quarterback Josh Allen. He's having a marvelous season. I picked him to win MVP before the season. Picked the Bills to come out of the AFC. So far, at least looking right on that part. Dead wrong on the Packers. But so far, looking right about the Bills. Unless the Packers can again pull off a miracle, I don't feel great about their chances. Hell, I don't feel great about them even keeping it kind of close at this point. You know, I'm sorry. I just don't. How could you? One thing I want to say quick, if I can backtrack about the offensive line, I didn't mention the holding penalties were really bad. I just want to slip that in before the end of the show. I talked about the offensive line. The pass protection was mostly good. Run blocking, the holding calls were unacceptable. That was really bad. They've got to clean that up. The penalties, not good enough from them. Just want to slip that in quick. And of course, talking about the Bills game again now, I'll be back next Sunday, next week, to recap that one. Win, lose, or draw? Probably a loss if I was a betting man. I'll be recording that Sunday very late after the game is over. Whoopee, lucky me. So it'll be Monday morning when you hear it. You'll be listening as I'm at work, struggling to stay awake like a total freaking zombie, but whatever, that'll be fun too. So keep your eyes and your ears open for that, and yes, I'll keep you posted. So until next time, whenever that may be, I am Chris Lemphasis. This has been Lem's Talking Pack. Thank you so very much for listening, Packer Nation. If you're still listening, give yourself a pat on the back and a gold star. You've earned it. I love you. I love you. I love you. Please stay safe out there in this crazy world. And remember, always and forever, go Pack. Go.